Its nose and upper lip are more snout-like than man's, but there is a ridge, presumably a septum. Oh, yes, there it is. It's got a lip, something like a man's lip, vertical, and its nose, the nostrils are very large, larger, I think, in proportion. Now, this canine question. Oh, yes, and the profile's more upright, doesn't slope back. Oh, yes, there's the forehead and the ridge in front. Yes, deep-set eyes. Very dim, groping intelligence, but such as it is, it uses it. My impression of this creature's mouth is of regular teeth, upper and lower, and I do not see a very notably or marked projecting canine tooth. Whether that conflicts with scientific evidence, I don't know, but that's, I can't see a markedly projecting longer canine tooth. Now, anything else, John?
The question is,
can I see anything of the occipital region?
Yes.
It has a profile and comes in towards the occipital foramen. Yes, it curves in and does not go straight down. I affirm that. So that if I was drawing a profile, the back of the skull would not go straight down in this creature. It would come in towards, giving it the rudiments of a neck. I'm asked whether it has much of a forehead. You know the face is more vertical than an ape's, but still flat, and the nose doesn't protrude as much as our noses of today, or of any man of today. Not as much, but there is a raised ridge, and it has a nose with a bridge to it. Yes, it has forehead. I try and give you some comparison to the length of the nose, for instance. See there. It has a forehead. Slopes back, though. Not immediately. So we go up the nose, between the eyes, up. Oh, it goes back very quickly. Let's see now. If the nose is 2 inches long from between the eyes to the tip, then I've got the creature fairly well, you know. Much better than the other one for some reason. Now, help me, John. I don't know what to tell you. What do you want to know about the forehead? Oh, I see. You mean before it begins to go back to the back of the head?
Yes.
How much is there in comparison with the length of the nose? Right. Wait a minute. The forehead rises, not vertically, sloping back, but like a forehead, for about 3/4 or 7/8 of the length of the nose, whatever that is. Then it begins to go flattish, and then the rounded and flattish back after that. So you could say, you could put your finger and say, there's where the forehead ends. It's about what I said. By the way, there are lateral lines, as if it were frowning all the time.
That's in the skin, of course. It's got a frowning sort of a forehead. Now I'm going to have another look at the teeth and have another completely fresh go at the mouth. Won't take me long. First of all, I'm going to say that I think this one is more human-like, particularly in its psychology, than the other. I think so. I don't notice the extreme ferocity and snarling brutality. It's more composed in its mentality, though, yes, I think it doubtless is capable of attack for its own purposes and strong and active defense, but it's a much more peaceable kind of a creature in the mood in which I have contacted it today than the first specimen. I think its forehead is slightly higher from what, yes, and it's on the whole, I inclined to favor this one as being more evolved towards man, though very far from it, than the one I looked at before. The question is, are there others in the neighborhood visible to me, and are they more or less advanced than this one? First of all, I can say that this one is
in no way subordinate to them. It's a creature that's living at peace. Its serenity and security are not assailed. It's sure of itself. It's more manlike in psychology, at any rate, than the other, whatever the physical features may indicate. Now I'll look.
The Akash is very mixed. There are others. Yes. Primitive. More primitive. More near the ape. Oh, look, there. I think there are some more primitive near apes. At any rate, I'm not looking over the countryside very well, but there presents itself to my consciousness a much more ape-like creature. Now, I'll tell you the peculiarity. The middle of the skull, the crown of the skull, goes up into a kind of small mound at the top there, very narrow, small mound. And oh, I think there's some hair growing up from it. Gives it a very high-crowned creature, but no forehead noticeable. Oh, there's the dark skin. This is, I think, an ape. Yes, yes. Size, yes, try. Relative size, more.
Diet.
Of diet, of this ape?
Yes.
Oh. Wait a minute, I'm going to study it. Have I gone off onto this ape? Am I all right, John?
Yes, I asked you to examine.
Oh, yes. But am I making a bad shot?
Yes.
No, that's all right. Then I'll go after the ape, hmm?
Yes,
right.
Bear to me.
The diet of this creature, right.
Arboreal.
Fruitarian. And at least in part, it's in a tree, it's in trees, it's gathering something, fruit. It's, right.
That is the end of the first side of reel number 6.
I'm following up this ape figure. Enormous creature. Terrific shoulders, very long arms. It's in a tree. It's browsing on what grows there round about it. It's Now, I cannot be sure that I'm not misleading you by saying that they're contemporaneous. I have the impression that this ape was a predecessor of another era. May be wrong about that, you may know, but that's an impression I hand on for what it's worth. As if this region was once occupied by apes of this style, and at a later period, or at another period, must be careful, at another period by the owner of specimen F, who's a man, who's a man. Now I see the two together. Not that they were together, but in my consciousness. And there's no doubt about F being human-like and very superior to and different from A, particularly in mentality and psychology. Question is, were they simultaneous in their occupation of the area? I'll try that.
I'm going to specimen F for my starting point.
I don't know why, but this is just an amusing fact that I'm quite drawn personally to specimen F, in the sense that he doesn't repel me by any exhibitions of crude brutality. And there's a sort of an almost human-like and acceptance of things as they are, and a kind of domesticity is the wrong word, because I don't see any domestic life round him, but that kind of an atmosphere about him. Now I shall have to leave him, keeping in his time period, and look around. Frankly difficult. Oh, well, there's no doubt about the ape. As soon as I do that, an ape presents itself. We're on a hill, and way slopes the ground, there are, it's fairly well treed with clear areas, some large trees, some others, several varieties of buck-like. Down in the flatter country below, owner of F goes off. Down there and amongst them. I can't see any hunting or killing, but off he goes. This fellow, you know, this F, he's quite a, got a lot of human characteristics. He's got more than one weapon, and he has enough, club-like, and he has enough sense to, he picks his weapon, and he goes off carrying it down the hill. It's a club. Now I must find the relationship of the ape to him. Yes, I think so. This is hazardous, but you've asked me, and I'll just express an opinion. There are some apes about at the same time as this man. Oh yes, there's that tufted, narrow little crown to the head. Oh yes, there they are. Yes, if this is at all clear and right, then the answer is yes. Anything else? Getting to the end. All right, as far as I've done. All right, well, I'm not so tired as usual. So I'm going now to have another look at E.
Well?
Not dissimilar from F in profile, of face. Not dissimilar.
Very definitely a flesh eater.
Terror. He just wolfs his food. Russ is hungry at the moment. He's tearing it off a bone. He's ravenous, I think. Russ is a ravenous kind. Whether he's older or younger in evolutionary time, he's not such a peaceable kind of a person as the F.
A skeleton.
After death. It's lying on its left side. The mouth's open. It's got a skull like man's. Not in size or fullness, but in shape at the back. Yes, it comes in. There it is. It's all crumbled. Skull. There it is. There's its skull. There's the... Oh, there's some elements there of the spinal column. I'm surprised they haven't been found. It's lying together. They are quite regular. The legs, the two hind legs, the legs are doubled up. It's on its left side. It's all gone. All tissue's gone. Sockets of the eyes, the orbits are all visible. It's empty. Yes. Thought at first there was something on the crown in the way. No. It's in a curiously crouched position, with the knees up quite a bit. Oh, and the arms folded over its chest. It's lying there, mouth open. Let's try and look at that upper jaw if I can. Difficult. Oh, yes, I have to, I'm saying this, I have to commit myself. Always with the proviso of possibility of error. I think my tooth.
It. I think it died a natural death. It fell over onto its left side. I must just see if there's any funeral, any moving of it afterwards. But now I'm seeing it fell over onto its left side. I think its end was peaceful. Old age, I should say, not decrepit old age, but old age. It's near it died just, the skeleton lay afterwards, very near the entrance of its cave, See now if I can place it. I think it's all different from now, as I've already described. There is the surface of the vertical back of the terrace. There it laid on the ground, a little to the left of the old original entrance to a cave. Which is small. I hope I'm not wrong. It doesn't look like this cave at all. It's just a small, perhaps, cave, and the entrance would be about twice the height of this, of an ape, and about three or four, six times horizontally. Very irregular. But it is an opening into the side of a hill. So it lay on the left side of this opening. Yes, I see crumbling went on. I'm being enabled to watch it forward. Watch forward in time. I'm coming on. Oh, look, the shell scapulars crumble. I'm watching them. I see slow process of time. A peculiar... crumbling into excessive dehydration and loss of cohesion of particles, and then the scapulars both crumbled fairly much ahead. I should say this creature had a neck. May have been it had by this looking at the spinal column going up into the foramen. I would say that it's getting on towards man-like in that respect. Well, that's about all I can do unless there's something special else, John.
Just before I attempt an answer,
I'd like to record this is the very first time I've had the experience of the passage of time in the course of this work, and I have. As it were, moved in time forward to towards our present day. I don't see the death, but I see I see the skeleton after all flesh has disintegrated from it. And then I see that I saw the skeleton itself beginning to break up and disintegrate, yes, into sort of dust. Yes. Yes. Vast ages pass. Yes. Oh, look, there are a lot of wild animals about on the grass, on the outside. Oh, the whole place has changed completely. The area from whence this came was very thickly inhabited by game. There are the various buck. There is a kind of, this will do to test whether I'm really seeing, a kind of buffalo, or big buffalo-like animals with really curved horns coming down like two horns, fully curved, down on either side. Oh, yes, there's an immense amount of game all around the area. Nobody about at the particular time now. And there is the skeleton lying there through all the changes which have occurred. Now I'm looking for tools.
This is Peggy Donnelly, Geoffrey Hodson and John Robinson in the Broom Memorial Chamber at Sterkfontein. We are about to start an investigation into supposed artifacts from Sterkfontein. The first one is a piece of bone, the others are chipped stone.
The date is March 14th,
1960.
Apart from the specimen and research upon it, I just wish to record the very marked impress upon the Akasha of this cave area of an extremely powerful, pure ape. The very first time I came here, I saw this creature's impress upon the Akash and could have been misled that the specimen I then had was related definitely to it, but I soon found it was not so. Now this morning I'm very impressed again. I see very plainly this very large, pure ape. As a type of animal, which definitely, to my mind, lived here. It moving about as one who is habitually at home here. It's got the long ape hair, brown, and it has a sort of tuft of some kind on the top of its head. I'll take a little trouble to examine its face and see if it has any changes have begun in it towards ape man, or whether it is only still ape.
I
conclude with a degree of personal certainty
that this ape, this creature is pure ape, and though it inhabited the same place and may even have been contemporaneous with ape man, had in fact nothing to do with the specimens directly. But in some peculiar way, it cannot wholly be separated from the life of the creatures from whom the other specimens were taken. It's so very positively here. Must be allowed for as a type which inhabited the region and this actual place. Whilst I cannot identify as yet this particular piece of bone, it evokes the sight of a man ape sitting down on its haunches, looking down at things beside it, ruminatively. It is fashioning something. It's got some broken bones, longish bones. One piece is broken, jagged. It's very slow in all its processes, and it's looking at this bone. These bones are other pieces there. It looks up away, and then its mind, such as there is, comes back, keeps losing its concentration, or getting distracted by something which causes it to look out in an interested, but I don't think alarmed, way. But it does that, keeps on looking up. Yes. Now it picks up this longish, broken, half broken half bone, like a thigh bone or arm bone. It takes it in its left hand. It rubs it. Oh, it's got a stone, grind a stone. Not a grindstone, of course, as we think of it, but it's got two stones. Oh, yes, it's clearing now. It's got a fairly large stone in front of it and another one in its hand. And it places this this piece of bone, which I think is the one I've got on my forehead. It places it on the one on the ground, holds it with its left hand. With its right hand, it begins to rub. On one side of the bone, which yields very slowly to the rubbing. It's got an idea, of a dim sort in its mind, that it's going to make something by this process. Now it's just going on rubbing, so switch off and I'll see what happens after a time. In a more finished state, on its right side, white bones, gleaming white in the sunshine, it's it's comparing it's the one it's working on with the others, as if they were patterns to which it is working. There are two of this kind. There are other shaped bones, two about. There's a head of a thigh or upper arm bone. I see the positive rounded end which goes into the socket, to a socket there beside it, but it's not working on that so much as the middle, halfway down the length of the bone. Yes, it keeps on smoothing it, rubbing it with this piece of rock or stone which it has in its hand. It feels the result with its finger to see if it's smooth, and it's working it to a point. Yes, feels the end, goes on rubbing, not satisfied, picks up another and looks, puts it beside the one it's working on, and then resumes its rubbing on this piece that I have, and therefore I have to conclude that this really is a shaped artifact and hasn't come to its shape with a face to it by natural processes. I don't assume so, as far as I can discern. This is to be associated with a throwing spear. It is to be attached to the end of something that I can grasp from this man-ape's thoughts as it works away. Mind you, I haven't yet seen such a spear yet. That impression is very strong. He's making a spear point with the idea of attacking game for food. Another scene in the life of this creature presents itself. It is fashioning something from skins. It's got something like this implement made, rubbed into a sharp point, and it is making holes in the edge, near the edge of a skin. I can hear a slight sound as the implement goes through. Well, I have to discern whether that's the same implement or I'm merely seeing the Akasha history of this man in relation to implements. This is all new
and has not presented itself from the teeth. And I haven't seen these scenes before. I now feel fairly certain that a pointed artifact is used for making holes in skin, which are thereafter sewn together. using the word sown for convenience to describe a primitive procedure. I'll try and see that going on if I can. It is a dried or a dried skin with the hair still on it, very dark on the other side. It's one of the buck family, I think. Anyway, they scraped it very clean and there's no flesh attached to it, and it's light coloured, creamy light, and it's fairly light cream, and it's it's rather stiff. Yes, has to push hard to get his implement right through. I'll decide before I finish which function this particular artifact was used for. I'll just follow this scene on now, regardless of that. Yes. This, I think this is the more peaceful of those creatures. At any rate, he's in a perfectly domestic state of mind now. There's a female, and there are young. Yes, they are definitely constructing something. I don't know what. By sewing with thin strips of similar hide together and pushing this thong through the holes they first make. It's all very primitive.
And that is the end of Type 8.
Woman, the female, shall we say, looks more like a human rather than the male. There's less hair on the skin. Less hair on the skin of the face. But as far as I can see, it's dim on the body. She's reaching forward now, and this sewing together is done by collaboration, one on either side of the skins, which are hung from a branch of a tree, and they are one on either side of it, and they pass their thong through, and the other one takes it and passes it through the other, back and forth. Yes, they're sewing. I have to conclude that whatever else it's used for, this was used for throwing. Its point, sharpness of its point, was important because it was continually tested by the thumb. And it was rubbed until it was shaped a bit and eventually pointed, I think, and then thrown, either fastened onto a spear or as a long piece of bone, but I think fastened on a spearhead. This accords with the man's mind because he's thinking of I can't help getting his thought as well as I did the other day. I feel sure he's got his mind on game and on food. And he's making weapons. It's a weapon. However, they were sufficiently domestic to have made similar implements for the process of sewing skins together. So all I can do, John. Any questions, anything more? This piece of rock evokes quite different scenes altogether. Strife. It's definitely fighting. I don't say between ape man and ape man, but possibly, I'll find it out, I think, between animals. This thing was certainly being thrown.
There was a battle here.
Whether it's a hunt, I'll find out. A real battle.
Ah, now I see spears.
Yes. Ah, there's this ape man type. I must be careful. This evokes totally different scenes from those I've hitherto contacted.
Whether actually associated with it, this stone in my hand evokes from the Arkasha the scene of a hunt. And there are a number of eight men, as much as I've described. They are certainly able to stand upright, and they have rounded up a lot of game. Black-haired buck. That's a veritable herd of game. An indiscriminate attack is carried out against them, and these primitive men are throwing stones, and big, much bigger than this, and some weapons, spear-like, and using clubs, somewhat as I have described them.
Animals have horns.
They've killed some. There's one big buck there with large horns. Poor thing, it's not dead yet. It's on the ground, it's bleeding profusely. They're continuing to beat it to death with stones. And I think clubs, though some of them are merely holding stones in their hands to beat with. There's a tremendous amount of shouting going on, and it's all crude to the last degree. However, they've got food and skins. The stone
evokes no scene of fashioning. That may be my limitations, but I do not get, as in the case of the bone, a scene of anybody handling, fashioning, shaping the stone. At present, I don't. I got that hunting scene, and I get a lot of throwing of rocks, but this particular stone links me with the history of the scene of the this place or wherever it was found in the way I've described. As yet, I cannot affirm it to be an artifact.
This is the 16th of March, 1960. Geoffrey Hodson, John Robinson, and Peggy Donnelly, investigating specimen SEA-157.
The stone produces several effects upon my consciousness of having, as for example, having been long embedded in a rock mass, then eventually the face of a man-like creature presents itself fairly clearly. I only, for some reason, at present have a face, which I will try to describe. It is distinctly human. Now the whole figure emerges, male, man-like piece of stone has also been handled, examined without comprehension, turned over and handled by an ape. The ape presence is quite marked, particularly the face, eyes, large brown eyes, as if in the akasha of this piece of stone, there is impressed a very close-up record of such a face. The stone must have been picked up and held near to the face for close examination. It's just like looking at a very enlarged colour photograph in three dimensions. Now this has temporarily displaced the first form. I'd better let the record play itself naturally. Oh yes, it's an ape. It's passing the piece from one hand to the other as if weighing it or trying to get some sense out of it. There are others. There's a young, playing around rather skittishly. I'm for the time being in the world of apes. There's a female. There's this peculiar action of holding the rock up and holding the rock in the hand, raising and lowering it as if we would do, as if we were weighing. But this isn't so much, but pure curiosity, I think. There's the hand, monkey-like on the back, dark-skinned, hairy arms. Oh yes, this is an ape that I've got hold of as part of the history of this thing. Seek to get away from that to whatever else has been associated with this piece. Yes.
I hadn't thought of that, but I don't see any dissimilarity. Oh, do you mean identical one, you mean, do you? Or like it?
Is it one of the types that you...
Ah, the type. Yes. A minute.
As soon as I attempted to investigate that, which I will do. I contacted the record associated with a more man-like creature. His back is towards me. He's walking away from me slightly, slowly. He's erect. He's hairy headed from behind. Yes, I must get him if he's real.
I
see him as being part of the environment from which the stone came at some time. There he is, he's turned, he's coming back towards me. He's more like E. He's got fangs, got a noticeable fang. He's very hairy faced, but his features, as I've now learned to recognize them, are more manlike, for all those particulars which I've talked over and described. He comes. He's not so friendly. He's fierce. I'm going to hazard a clear, unhesitating description of events. These two are together at the same time, and the stone, I think, really belongs to the man, and the ape has picked it up, and having seen the man with it, and I think the man-like, I must be careful, I don't say man-like, more man-like being, comes back. I don't quite see them both together yet. He comes back. He's annoyed about something. He's in a bad temper. He has a club. Wooden club. He sits down on his haunches. He has the piece of rock. Now the scene has changed, and this man-like creature has a piece of rock, much larger than this, from which this is made. It's a rather shapeless piece of fairly hard stone or rock. He's looking at the whole thing, weighing it, got it in both hands, assessing it in his dim way. Yes. Now, what does he do? Oh, yes. He begins to... Oh, he's got some sharpish flint-like implement. Quite a good edge on it. He takes it in his right hand and he starts chipping away at the stone. I haven't seen this specimen with my physical eyes, but I felt it, and I should say it's part of a piece of similar rock about four times at least
the size of his own head. Man-like head. He tore it. Oh, he tore this. He tore this out of the side of some cliff-like surface below soil, and a whole lot of soil came down on him when he did it, and some pebbles, and small pebbles, and he got it out. And that's anterior to what I've just been describing, but I see him doing it, and now I see him with this very large piece. And it's the upper surface, what has been one surface of it, is very irregular and has curious holes and indentations in it of a very irregular character. But underneath that is the smoother kind of stone from which this is taken, and he sets to work on this, and he starts chipping that rougher stuff away, which it's encrusted with rather, and he gets rid of that, and he gets down to what he thinks is more suitable. Oh, there he is. Oh, yes, I see his face now. Yes, he's got a nose. There's a ridged nose. Yes. There he is. I hope I was right about his fangs. Just a moment. I mustn't stop from the work of shaping this, or beginning to shape this rock. Yes. Now he's got it down near towards this size. So I would, at this stage, inclined to feel sure that this is not natural in its present shape, but that some ape-man-like creature extracted it and handled it, as I've said, and worked on it. Yes. Oh, yes, it's been sort of, as we would say, flaked or whittled. Yes. Yes. And puts it down beside him for a bit. Oh, he's got another or two on the other side, on his left side, and he looks at those. They're small, some smaller, some about this size I've just seen. Reduced size. Now he picks it up again. In his way, he's wanting to be exact. I'm looking at the first, interestingly, I seem to be looking at the first, at a very, not first, very early, primitive attempt to be exact and professional about something, as if this being were used to doing this and wants approximate correctness as far as he can, all of which seems to argue a rather advanced state. Oh, there are the upper teeth. Yes, I think the incisors, I think the eye teeth are visible, a little lower than the molars. Yes, I think I have to stand by that. Yes. Yes. Now, John, what am I to do now?
It's very important to identify the type of creature who is making this.
All the detail I can get,
Yes. Can just in any way fix whether it is of the head type or the E type or the other, the third one, if that is of critical importance.
Is it? The third being pure ape.
Yes.
All right. Try that.
an interesting scene. I will come back to the main question. This may be of significance. There is an ape family definitely associated with the scene, with this stone, evoked by this stone at some period in its history. And it's very interesting to watch this family. There's the male and the female and this baby. It is eight. Now, I'm not saying this is the maker of the stone. I don't know yet. I don't think so. But they're present.